Hello, this is Janice Schweizer with the Pantograph for Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. We begin on the front page with Artists Draw on Creative Well. 25th Annual Art Walk Brings Creative Spirit to Downtown by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington Normal Art Scene is hosting the 25th Annual Art Walk in downtown Bloomington this weekend, featuring over 100 exhibiting artists and more than a dozen art galleries. The walk will be expanding its hours this year, opening up from 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday in celebration of the 25th anniversary and continue during First Friday, 5 to 8 p.m., November 7th. Continuing during First Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. on November 7th. Art walkers will also be able to tour galleries from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, November 8th. Hours may vary by location. "I really think we have a creative well here," said gallery owner Angel Ambrose. "We decided that we wanted to create a culture where we would invite people into our studio spaces. We provided hospitality. We made it warm and inviting." The Art Walk, which began in 2000, started out with just four artists and their studios, which were all around the corner from each other, coining the walk's initial name, Around the Corner. Its surviving three founders are still involved in the walk today, Ambrose, Herb Eaton, and Pamela Eaton. She reached out to Ambrose and Kay Seafeld, the fourth founder of the annual art event, who died in 2012, and began presenting her ideas for what is now known as the Art Walk. For the grassroots organization now known as the Bloomington Normal Art Scene, the idea was to band together to make art accessible to the public through providing open and inviting creative atmospheres to residents as well as other artists. We didn't probably realize it back then, but we were laying a foundation for what was to come. And it was the mindset to work together, to collaborate, said Ambrose, owner of Angel Ambrose Fine Art Studio and Creative Space at 101 West Monroe Street, Unit 201 in Bloomington. In the first year, the walk featured four studios and saw 200 in attendance. About 15 years ago, the walk was renamed to the Annual Art Walk and has grown ever since. Since then, collaboration among local artists has expanded with the help of Ambrose coming up with graphics and logos for the BN art scene, and Janine Baird, who has helped to expand the walk to feature more artists, including Tom Kirk, known for his work at 410 Sculpture Park, 210 South Madison Street in Bloomington, and the Illinois Art Station at 101 East Vernon Avenue in Normal. Several of the local artists said they are proud of the support they provide to one another, and Pamela Eaton noted that's not always the case in some communities. Local art educator Hannah Johnson said the Art Walk is a special time because it aligns with the First Fridays, which can be art-heavy. "I think the Art Walk has been one of those core events that Bloomington Normal artists have really rallied around. Although the Art Walk is specific to downtown Bloomington, leaders agreed that the point of the walk is to share space with other artists and encourage community members to engage in the hub that Bloomington has created. Pretty quickly, you can see that there was an advantage, and that one of the things that the people, the population, the non-art people who want is to be around art," Herb Eaton said. Brian Simpson, owner of Main Gallery 404, said in addition to his own artwork, he features 45 other artists' work at his studio located at 404 North Main Street in Bloomington. Artists noted many of their patrons have curated collections from local artists featuring Ambrose's landscapes, Simpson's life drawings, or Baird's collages. "We want that patronage," Pamela Eaton said. Baird, who owns Art Vortex Studio at 101 West Monroe Street, Suite 210 in Bloomington, is celebrating her 10th art walk this year. When she moved to the Midwest from Florida and was deciding where to open her studio, Baird said Bloomington caught her attention, noting the art trail helped her to establish partnerships with Illinois Route 66. This year, Art Vortex Studio is collaborating with Johnson and featuring guest artist Yolanda Alonso. There's a great energy here and just a lot of people who want to welcome you in and greet you and hear about your day and help to find things to make your life enriched, Baird said. Simpson agreed, noting Bloomington Normal has become a central area for art patrons throughout their open galleries. It's really for anybody within the region, he said. Johnson, an educator with Powerhouse Art and 410 Sculpture Park, which is a part of the self-guided art walk this year, said the artist community in Bloomington Normal draws people in. With an artist collective and community, you can connect someone who may appreciate your art to another fellow artist, said Johnson, who has been involved with the walk for the last 8 years in a variety of ways. There's a variety of skill, of prices, and mediums, Pamela Eaton said of the artwork featured along the art walk. Somebody will find something down here, around the corners in an art form. This year, the walk has almost 20 individual art spaces open to the public, with more than 35 public art installations. Patrons can collect stamps along the way in their art scene in McLean County passport. People don't even realize that they need art, Ambrose said. Art fills something in our spirit. We were created to engage with beauty. For more information, you can contact bnartscene@gmail.com or any of the participating artists, art galleries, and art studios. And the participating locations and hours, this is a list, says the following art galleries, studios, and spaces will be participating in the 25th Annual Art Walk this weekend. 410 Sculpture Parks from sunup to sundown daily at 410 South Madison Street. Angel Ambrose Fine Art Studios from 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at 101 Monroe Street. Art Vortex Studio, 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 to 2 Saturday, also at 101 West Monroe Street, Suite 210. Beluga Press Art Gallery from 4 to 9 p.m. Friday and 9 to 2 p.m. Saturday at 313 North Main Street. Darren Doughty Fine Art Studios, 4 to 9 p.m. Friday and at 101 Monroe Street, Suite 203. Dave Fulgrim Photographer, 4 to 9 p.m. Friday and 10 to 2 Saturday at 415 North Main Street, Suite 1. Herb Eaton Studio Gallery, 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 to 2 Saturday at 411 North Center Street. Inside Out Accessible Art, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Thursday, 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Friday, and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, and they're at 200 West Monroe Street. Jan Brandt Gallery, 4 to 9 p.m. Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at 418 North Main Street. J.Y. Langston Studio and Gallery, 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 to 2 Saturday at 103 West Monroe Street. Joan Goetzinger Studio Gallery, 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday, Friday from 10 to 2, and Saturday from 10 to 2 at 313 North Main Street. Main Gallery, 404, noon to 5 p.m. Thursday, noon to 8 p.m. Friday, and 9 to 3 on Saturday at 404 North Main Street. Mandy Raring, Fine Art Studio and Gallery, 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday and Friday, 10 to 2 Saturday at 105A West Monroe Street. McLean County Arts Center, 10 a.m. to 7 Friday, and 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at 601 Northeast Street. Three Square Studio, 4 to 9 p.m. Thursday, Friday, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at 104 West Monroe Street. And Threshold to Hope, 4 to 9 p.m. Friday and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, and they're at 200 West Monroe Street. In other local activities happening, we have Lainey Wilson to play State Fair by Olivia Jacobs. Country music singer Lainey Wilson has been announced as the first of many Illinois State Fair headliners for next year. Wilson will take the grandstand stage on Saturday, August 15th. The 2026 fair will run from August 13th to the 23rd at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. Wilson, on November 19th, will host the 2025 CMA Awards, where she is tied as the most nominated artist with 6 nominations, including for Entertainer of the Year, Female Vocalist of the Year, Album of the Year, Single of the Year, Song of the Year, and Music Video of the Year. She will also headline the Stagecoach Festival in 2026 and is featured on the 2025 Time 100 list, according to a news release. She recently released a deluxe version of her award-winning album, Whirlwind, featuring 5 additional tracks and the single Somewhere Over Laredo, which is currently in the top 10 on country radio. She has earned 8 number one hits, including 4x4 by You, Watermelon Moonshine, and the double platinum Heart Like a Truck, as well as collaborations Save Me with Jelly Roll and Wait in the Truck with Hardy. She also wrote and recorded the song Out of Oklahoma for the Twisters movie. Additionally, Wilson has collaborated with Reba McEntire, Miranda Lambert, Dolly Parton, and Post Malone. She is set to make her film acting debut in 2026's adaptation of Colleen Hoover's Reminders of Him. She has previously appeared in Yellowstone. Wilson is now on her sold-out Whirlwind World Tour, spanning Europe and North America, and recently launched her 4th collection with Wrangler, as well as her own boot and jewelry lines, Golden West Boots and the Lainey Wilson Jewelry Collection. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. Saturday, November 8th, via Ticketmaster. Tickets range from $88 to $168, and $30 pre-show party tickets will be available as an upgrade. More events include David and Jenny Bateman will host a book release and signing event this week for their new children's book, The Princely Frogs of Misty Island. The author-illustrator duo will participate in downtown Bloomington's First Friday event this week, signing books from 5 to 8 p.m. at Main Galley 404 on Main Street. The Princely Frogs of Misty Island is about the adventures of 2 tadpoles and the importance of kindness and friendship when it comes to facing the future, according to a news release from Main Galley 404. Jenny Bateman is a longtime local artist represented by the gallery and has many original works shown there. The book will be available through the holiday season during regular gallery hours, noon to 5 p.m. Thursday and Friday, and 10 to 2 Saturday, or by appointment. You can contact Main Gallery Art at gmail.com or 309-590-6779 for more information. Inside Out Accessible Art is opening a special holiday shop on Friday, November 7th, to sell locally made holiday decorations and gifts. The grand opening is at 5 p.m. on the first Friday in November and runs through December 31st. Many items are priced between $5 and $10 and include ornaments, jewelry, cards, gourds, centerpieces, baskets, and other unique items from local artists. Inside Out Accessible Art at 200 West Monroe Street is in downtown Bloomington is a 501c3 cooperative that offers, besides sales, art classes and free community art events. For more information, contact Shelley Schultz at 309-824-5844. Hopedale Medical Complex will host its annual Thanksgiving dinner drive-through on Thursday, November 27th, offering free traditional Thanksgiving meals to go. Pre-orders are required no later than 6 p.m. Monday, November 24th, and there will be no day of orders available, according to a press release. Each meal includes turkey, mashed potatoes, and gravy, green beans, stuffing, cranberry sauce, a roll, and pumpkin pie. Each meal will be packaged to take home and no cooking is required. Pickup times will be in 30-minute intervals from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. To register, call 309-449-4325 or visit tinyurl.com/HMCThanksgiving. Looking back at the front page, we have with the U.S. government, shutdown may be longest ever. Trump says he won't be extorted by Democrats, by Mary Claire Jelinek with the AP. The government shutdown is poised to become the longest ever this week as the impasse between Democrats and Republicans dragged into a new month. Millions of people stand to lose food, aid, benefits, health care subsidies are set to expire, and there are a few real talks between the parties over how to end it. President Donald Trump said in an interview aired Sunday that he, quote, won't be extorted, close quote, by Democrats who are demanding negotiations to extend the expiring Affordable Care Act subsidies. Echoing congressional Republicans, the president said on CBS's 60 Minutes, he'll negotiate only when the government is reopened. Trump said Democrats, quote, have lost their way, quote, and predicted they'll capitulate to the Republicans. I think they have to, Trump said, and if they don't vote, it's their problem. Trump's comments signal that the shutdown could drag on for some time as federal workers, including air traffic controllers, are set to miss additional paychecks, and there's uncertainty over whether 42 million Americans who receive federal food aid will be able to access the assistance. Senate Democrats voted 13 times against reopening the government, insisting they need Trump and Republicans to negotiate with them first. The president also reiterated his pleas to Republican leaders to change Senate rules and scrap the filibuster. Senate Republicans repeatedly rejected that idea since Trump's first term, arguing the rule requiring 60 votes to overcome any objections in the Senate is vital to the institution and allowed them to stop Democratic policies when they're in the minority. Trump said, that's true, but we're here right now. Republicans have to get tougher, Trump told CBS. If we end the filibuster, we can do exactly what we want. With the two parties at a standstill, the shutdown, now in its 34th day and approaching its sixth week, appears likely to become the longest in history. The previous record was set in 2019 when Trump demanded Congress give him money for a U.S.-Mexico border wall. Trump's push on the filibuster could prove a distraction for Senate Majority Leader John Thune, a Republican from South Dakota, and Republican senators who've opted instead to stay the course as the consequences of the shutdown become more acute. Republicans hope at least some Democrats will eventually switch their votes, as moderates have been in weeks-long talks with rank-and-file Republicans about potential compromises that could guarantee votes on health care in exchange for reopening the government. Republicans need 5 additional Democrats to pass their bill. Virginia Senator Tim Kaine, a Democrat, said on ABC's This Week on Sunday, there's a group of people talking about a path to fix the health care debacle and a commitment from Republicans not to fire more federal workers. But it's unclear if those talks could produce a meaningful compromise. Trump said in the 60 Minutes interview that the Affordable Care Act, often known as Obamacare because it was signed and championed by then-President Barack Obama, is, quote, terrible. And if the Democrats vote to reopen the government, quote, we'll work on fixing the bad health care that we have right now, close quote. Democrats feel differently, arguing that the marketplaces set up by the ACA are working as record numbers of Americans signed up for the coverage. They want to extend subsidies first enacted during the COVID-19 pandemic so premiums won't go up for millions of people on January 1st. Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer said last week that, quote, we want to sit down with Thune, with House Speaker Mike Johnson, with Trump, and negotiate a way to address this horrible health care crisis, close quote. As Democrats push Trump and Republicans to negotiate, Trump showed little interest in doing so. He called for an end to the Senate filibuster after a trip to Asia while the government was shut down. A spokesman for Thune said Friday that his position hasn't changed, and Johnson said Sunday that he believes the filibuster has traditionally been a safeguard from far-left policies. Trump said on 60 Minutes that he likes Thune, but I disagree with him on this point. The president has spent much of the shutdown mocking Democrats, posting videos of House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries in a Mexican sombrero. The White House website is now featuring a satirical MySpace page for Democrats, a parody based on the social media site that was popular in the early 2000s. Democrats repeatedly said they need Trump to get serious and weigh in. Virginia Senator Mark Warner said that he hopes the shutdown could end this week because Trump is back in Washington. Republicans can't move on anything without a Trump sign-off, Warner said on Face the Nation on CBS. The 35-day shutdown that lasted from December 2018 to January 2019 ended when Trump retreated from his demands over a border wall. That came amid intensifying delays at the nation's airports and multiple missed paydays for hundreds of thousands of federal workers. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said on ABC's This Week that there already have been delays at several airports and it's only going to get worse. In another local story, we have Input Sought on Police Standards by Caitlin Klepek. The Bloomington Police Department is asking for feedback from the community as part of its on-site assessment for Tier 2 accreditation through the Illinois Law Enforcement Accreditation Program. The Tier 2 assessment represents the department's, quote, continued commitment to professional excellence and adherence to the highest standards of law enforcement practices, close quote, according to a news release from Bloomington Police. Community members, agency employees, and elected officials are invited to call into a public comment session from 1 to 2 p.m. November 6th at 309-434-2354. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes and must address the department's ability to meet standards outlined by the accreditation program. An assessment team will visit the Bloomington Police Department on November 5th and 6th to examine the department's policies and procedures, management, operations, and support services. If granted, accreditation lasts for 4 years. Accreditation standards are meaningful for police departments and the communities we serve. We aim to be at our very best and contribute to safe communities, Chief Jamal Symington said in the news release. Your input during this ILEAP accreditation process will enable us to memorialize what we do well, but also set the department on a path of more success through collaboration. Thanks in advance for participating in the invaluable community input phase. Public comments can be submitted by calling during the November 6th session, emailing Lieutenant Jason Klessen at jklessen, that's spelled C-L-E-S-S-O-N, at cityblm.org, or mailing them to the Bloomington Police Department, Attention ILEAP Accreditation Process, at 305 South East Street in Bloomington, 61701. To review accreditation standards, visit the Illinois Association of Chiefs of Police website. In business news, we have layoffs pile up. Several companies cut positions recently, raising worker anxiety. By Wyatt Grantham Phillips with the AP. It's a tough time for the job market. Amid wider economic uncertainty, some analysts say businesses are at a no-hire, no-fire standstill. That caused many to limit new work to only a few specific roles, if not pause openings entirely. At the same time, some sizable layoffs continue to pile up, raising worker anxieties across sectors. Some companies pointed to rising operational costs stemming from President Donald Trump's barrage of new tariffs and shifts in consumer spending. Others cite corporate restructuring more broadly, or, as seen with big names like Amazon, are redirecting money to investments like artificial intelligence. Government hiring data is on hold during the shutdown, but a survey by payroll company ADP in October showed a loss of 32,000 jobs in the private sector in September. Here are some companies that cut jobs recently. General Motors moved to lay off about 1,700 workers across manufacturing sites in Michigan and Ohio on October 29th, as the auto giant adjusts to slowing demand for electric vehicles. Hundreds of additional employees are reportedly slated for temporary layoffs, and GM recently moved to downsize other parts of its workforce, including 200 layoffs mostly impacting engineers in Detroit and another 300 job cuts at a Georgia IT Innovation Center, which is also shuttering. In long-awaited cuts, just months after completing its $8 billion merger with Skydance, Paramount is laying off about 2,000 employees, about 10% of its workforce. Paramount initiated roughly 1,000 of those layoffs on October 29th, and the rest of the cuts will be made at a later date. Amazon said October 28th it will cut about 14,000 corporate jobs, close to 4% of its workforce, as the online retail giant ramps up spending on AI while trimming costs elsewhere. A letter to employees said most workers would be given 90 days to look for a new position internally. CEO Andy Jassy previously said he anticipated generative AI would reduce Amazon's corporate workforce in the coming years. He's worked to aggressively cut costs overall since 2021. UPS disclosed about 48,000 job cuts this year as part of turnaround efforts, which arrive amid wider shifts in the company's shipping outputs. In a regulatory filing, UPS said it cut about 34,000 operational positions, and the company announced another 14,000 role reductions, mostly within management. Target said last month it would eliminate about 1,800 corporate positions, or about 8% of its corporate workforce globally. Target said the cuts were part of wider streamlining efforts, with Chief Operating Officer Michael Fidelke noting that, quote, too many layers and overlapping work have slowed decisions. In May, Microsoft began laying off about 6,000 workers across its workforce. Just months later, the tech giant said it would cut 9,000 positions, marking its biggest round of layoffs seen in more than 2 years. The company cited organizational changes, with many executives characterizing the layoffs as part of a push to trim management layers. Intel moved to shed thousands of jobs, with the struggling chipmaker working to revive its business as it lags behind rivals like NVIDIA and Advanced Micro Devices. In a July memo to employees, CEO Lip Bu said Intel expected to end the year with 75,000 core workers, excluding subsidiaries, through layoffs and attrition. That's down from 99,500 core employees reported at the end of last year. And in mid-October, Nestle said it would cut 16,000 jobs globally as part of a wider cost reduction aimed at reviving its financial performance. The Swiss food giant said the layoffs would take place over the next 2 years. The cuts arrive as Nestle and others face headwinds, like rising commodity costs and U.S.-imposed tariffs. The company announced price hikes over the summer to offset higher coffee and cocoa costs. And with that, we conclude the reading of Part 1 of the Pantograph for Tuesday, November 4th, 2025. I'm Janice Schweizer, and I will return shortly to read Part 2.